ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. All praises due to Allah. We laud Him, beseech His help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the mischievousness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one will be able to guide him. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He is alone, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is His abd and His rasul. As to what follows, surely the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, for every newly invented matter in this deen is an innovation. Every innovation is a going astray, and every astray is in the hellfire. Before we begin with this extremely important topic, I'd like to say that if there is anyone in this city or in the adjoining cities and towns or in the state of Maryland or anywhere else here in the United States, or whoever hears my voice in the world, that I've ever offended or wronged, I ask you, after asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow me to rectify the wrongs that I've done to any one of you, male or female, Pakistani or Arab, American or otherwise, before I die. Because in my preparation for this topic of death, even though I've read these verses and these hadiths many times, in the preparation and research for these things, it scared the you-know-what out of me. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pour into your hearts, if I've ever wronged you in any way whatsoever, that after Allah forgives me, that you forgive me. And that Allah allows me to rectify any wrong that I've done to any brother, sister, or otherwise. That's how I begin this topic of al-mawt, of death, and the issues that happen in the grave. Before we begin, inshallah, I think it's important to give the definition of al-mawt. The scholars of the Arabic language say that according to the Arabs, al-mawt is simply a sukoon. It's simply, the meaning of it is as sukoon. And for those brothers and sisters who are here studying the Arabic language or have some knowledge of the Arabic language, you know what a sukoon is. Sukoon is that little thing, sometimes like a circle, over the letters in Arabic. That thing that makes those harakat have rest. In fact, the scholars of Islam and the scholars of the Arabic language say that al-hayat, life, is al-haraka, is movement. And the opposite of that is as-sukun, which makes that movement stop moving. That's why they call that thing on the letters as-sukun, because the vowels fatha, dhamma, etc., etc., they come to rest. This is the meaning of death in the Arabic language. As-sukun, when everything stops, when everything ends, there's no more for you in this life. Before we mention in detail, using the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, which is the most explicit hadith collected by many of the scholars of hadith like Abu Dawood and At-Tayalisi and Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. Before we go to the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, I think we should give an outline of those things that are going to happen and what happens to the soul before the soul goes to, or the body goes to, the ground. What happens before the soul is removed from the body. This is just in a nutshell those things, and then we'll deal with the details inshallah. Number one, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala hesitates, and Allah hesitates in a manner befitting His majesty. His hesitation is not like our hesitation. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala hesitates in taking the life of the mu'min and the mu'mina. We have the hadith, the very famous hadith that we find in Imam al-Nawawi's 40 hadith, where Allah's Prophet alayhi salam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, I will be at war with him. My servant, my abd, does not draw closer to me with anything dearer to me than the religious duties that I've made compulsory on him or her. And my abd keeps moving towards me with a voluntary act until I love him. And when I love him, I will be the hearing which he hears with. I will be the sight with which he sees, and the hand with which he strikes, and the feet with which he walks. If he were to ask me of anything, I would give it to him. And if he would seek refuge with me, I would surely grant it. In this hadith collected by Imam al-Nawawi, it stops at that point. And in the other narration collected by Imam al-Bukhari, it continues by saying, and I am not hesitant in doing anything as I am hesitant in taking his life, for he hates death while I hate harming him. He hates death, meaning the believer, while I hate harming him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hesitates in taking the life of the believer. And this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. The second thing, remember, we'll give the details later inshallah, that shaitan, la'natullahi alayhi, may Allah forever curse him. And he is deserving to be cursed. He should say, Ameen. He makes himself present at the approach of the death. When the person is at death's door, shaitan comes to that person. The scholars of Islam say that shaitan takes special care to be present at the time when death approaches, for one reason and one reason only: so he can influence the human being to end his life other than the way he lived his life, so that he can trick and dupe and incite and whisper to the human being at the time when they are about to die, to do the worst thing that any human being can do, which is to leave the deen of Islam. Shaitan takes the opportunity, and he is one of the greatest opportunists in existence. He takes the opportunity when you are on death's door, when you are at death's door, Shaitan will come to you and try to influence you and me to say other than La ilaha illallah. Shaitan might come to you and say to you, you know, you always thought about how the Jehovah's Witnesses were. For instance, why don't you reconsider their beliefs? You really knew that Farrakhan was right, didn't you? Why don't you leave this deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and come on in to the religion of Farrakhan? He might come with anything. And this is something that every human being during their life they have to guard themselves from. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama al-a'malu bil khawatim," that actions are judged by the last thing you do. Actions are judged by the last thing you do. So, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "Surely Shaitan presents himself to each one of you anytime he does something, even at the time of eating. So if any morsel of food drops, wipe it off, whatever harmful things that are on it, and then eat it so that it is not left for a shaitan. And then afterwards, lick the fingers, because you don't know of which part of the food lies the blessing." And this English translation of this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. The point is that the Prophet, the Shahid, the highlighted point of this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the meaning of it is, as Shaitan presents himself to each one of you every time he does something, because he wants to take away from your barakat, he wants to take away from your hasanat. And what is the greatest barakah that you can get? What is the greatest hasanah that you can have? It is to be on your deathbed, or to be on the battlefield, or to be in the airplane, or in the train, or under the water when the alligator comes to you and it starts biting at you, and you are, oh, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. As soon as the plane hits, la ilaha illallah. There's no barakah greater than this. But Shaitan is going to come to you in the air, on land, on the sea, and he's going to try to get you to do other than that. He's going to try to get you to change your deen. And there's nothing more important than that. Nothing more important to Shaitan than that. And then, according to the scholars of Islam, the third thing that we should know is that the disbeliever asks Allah to return him to this world when death comes to him. That the disbeliever asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, let me go back. Similar, but not as intense, as you when your boss is about to fire you, or when he gives you the pink slip, and then you say to him, please, let me come back and work in 7-Eleven. I won't be late anymore. Please let me come back and work for IBM. I guarantee you I won't take all these sick days anymore. The disbeliever is in such a wretched situation because he's shaqi. She's shaqiyya. They're wretched. They're not sa'id like inshallah we will be of the su'ada. They are in such a terrible situation because they know, they see what's in front of them. They know that they denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence. They know that they ascribe partners to Allah. They know that they denied that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the tawheed of ittiba, that he is the only one to be followed. They followed other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They know that they did not accept this deen. So they're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return them to this life, to give them another chance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارجعوني لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت. كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. Until when death comes to one of them, those who join partners with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he will say, my Lord, irji'uni, send me back, that perhaps I now might do some good deeds of that which I should have done before, those things which I left behind. No, it will be said to him. It is but a word that he speaks. And Allah already knows it's only a word that they speak. And behind them is a barrier until the day when they will be raised up. And we can find this in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses 99 and 100. The next step that we need to know before the details of the hadith is the agony of death, of which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ilaha illallah. For surely death has agonies. La ilaha illallah. For surely death has agonies. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, or Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Ahmed and his Musnad. Step number 5. The disbeliever's acceptance of Iman, or acceptance of faith, at the time of death is rejected, as Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah drowned Fir'aun, and Fir'aun said, I believe in the God of which the children of Israel believed in. I believe in that God now. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-ana faqad asayta. Oh, now, after you disbelieved. And Jibreel alayhi salam said to the Prophet in that hadith, collected by At-Tirmidhi, with an authentic chain, inshaAllah, Jibreel said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Oh Muhammad, if you could have just been there to see me when I took the mud from around the shore and started stuffing it in his mouth out of fear that he would complete the kalima because of his wretched soul, because of the tyranny, because of the rebelliousness of Fir'aun, Oh Muhammad, I wish you could have seen it, because Muhammad wasn't around sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when I gathered up the mud from around the sea and stuffed it into Fir'aun's mouth so he couldn't complete La ilaha. So the disbeliever, this is a fitna for him. No, it's more than a fitna, it's azab. It's a punishment for the disbeliever. Number 6, the angel of death arrives at the head of the abd just before his death, and we'll give the details inshallah. And the angel of death gives to the believer the glad tidings of forgiveness and pleasure, while the disbeliever is informed about the anger and the wrath of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As for what happens to the soul after the soul is taken, Number eight, the soul of the believer leaves with ease, while the unbeliever is punished because his soul leaves with difficulty. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, النَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. When the angels come and snatch violently the soul out of the kafir and the fajr's body. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا. When it snatches the soul out of the kafir's body. Number nine, the departure of the believer's soul occurs with the best fragrance of musk that you can find. And to me, the best fragrance in this world is not what many of you brothers like. This oud, oh, I hate the smell of it. I can't take it. I like the sweeter smelling ones, maybe the ones that the women would like. The sweetest smelling musk known on the face of the planet Earth, the departure of the believer's soul occurs with the best fragrance of musk. The best fragrance of musk, there's the smell. While the departure of the unbeliever's soul occurs with the worst smell of the worst, most stenchful, most stinking, and for the brothers who grew up in America, most funky cadaver that you can find on the face of the planet Earth. And you younger brothers can explain to your parents what funky means. Number 10, the believer praises Allah while his soul is leaving his body. Allahu Akbar. When the soul is leaving the believer's body, the believer will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, "Verily the believer's soul, surely the believer's soul leaves from between his two sides while he's praising Allah." We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who praise Allah while our soul is being taken from our bodies. Number 11, when the soul is seized, its sight, S-I-G-H-T, its sight follows. As was said by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Verily after the soul is taken, the sight follows." After the soul is taken, the sight follows. And for you medical doctors, both among the brothers and the sisters, maybe you can shed some light on this from the medical point of view. Number 12, and that hadith was collected by Imam Muslim and others, the angels open all the doors of the heavens one after the other when the soul of the believer, or for the soul of the believer, until all the doors are open. One after the other, the doors of heaven are open. One after the other, one after the other, one after the other, until all of them are open. Number 13, the doors of the heavens are not open for the unbelievers, contrary to some popular belief of some of the Muslims, where they believe that some of the disbelievers will go to paradise. The doors of heaven will not be open for the kuffar. Number 14, Allah orders that the soul of the believer be returned to the earth after his records are written in Illiyin. In Al-Illiyin. And number 15, the soul of the unbeliever is flung out of the heavens and it drops into his body, and that is after his records are written in Sijjin. And some of us who have memorized Juz Amma, we know this is mentioned in what surah? Mutaffifun. Number 16, the dead will feel exhilarated by the sitting of the righteous people around his grave for a period of time no longer than when it takes the slaughter of a few lambs and distributing their meat. And we ask Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, to allow the righteous Muslims to sit for this period of time, the time that it takes to slaughter a few lambs and distribute its meat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, allow the righteous to sit around our graves for a short period of time, this time that it takes to do this, and make dua for us. Ameen. This has been confirmed by Amr ibn al-As when he said, after you put me in the ground, sit around it for a period of time no longer than which it takes to slaughter a few lambs and distribute their meat, so that I feel exhilarated with you and see what I will review with the angels of my Lord. This hadith is collected by Muslims, and we know that this companion could not have made this statement because this is a statement of al-ghayb, something that is hidden from our view, unless he got it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No companion could have made this statement on his own. He had to have gotten this information from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Number 17, the squeezing of the grave and no one can escape it. The squeezing of the grave. And this squeezing is not like I squeeze your wrist or I squeeze your arm, or you squeeze a brother's hand like some of you, you strong brothers, when you squeeze my hand and shake it. This squeezing is not like this squeezing. This is a squeezing that is like no other squeezing. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if anyone is to be saved from the squeezing of the grave, it would have been who? Anyone know? What is the companion's name? Sa'd ibn Mu'az radiallahu anhu. Does anyone know about Sa'd, what happened when he died? How tremendous he was with Allah? Anyone know his story? When he died, what happened? Anyone? The throne of Allah shook from the death of Sa'd ibn Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah yubarakfik. The Prophet continued that statement by saying, but he was squeezed once and released. As great as he was with Allah, that Allah's throne, Ar-Rahman's throne, shook by the death of him, he was squeezed, but he was squeezed once and then released. Number 18, the faculty of reason is returned to the dead person once he's been put back into the grave. Once he or she, the dead person, is in the grave, the intelligence of the person, the faculty of being able to differentiate between this and that, is returned to that human being. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the torches of the grave, so that Umar radiallahu anhu said, is our faculty of reason returned to us, ya Rasulullah? The Prophet said, na'am, you will be the same as you are today. And we all know, brothers and sisters, that if you have the ability to reason, if the faculties of reason are intact in this life, while we're walking around right now, being able to hear my voice, being able to understand what I'm saying, can you imagine what's going to happen to the person who's going to be punished and interrogated in the grave, with that severe punishment and interrogation, of which the interrogation itself is like a punishment? No, it is a punishment. Can you imagine having all your faculties of reason in that situation? Can you imagine? Number 19, the dead hears the footsteps of his companions when they leave him. And I don't know how many of you have ever seen any of these horror pictures. that scares you when you go to bed, and I don't know why you like to look at them. Tales of the Crypts and things like this, Twilight Zone and Outer Limits, if that still comes on, I don't know. And I saw one segment like this years ago when this person was put into this box, a coffin, and it was nailed. And he was supposed to have had so many lives. He kept dying and coming back and dying and coming back and dying and coming back. Then finally, he had ran out of these lives. And he was nailed into this coffin and was put in the ground. And while I was watching this segment, it was so descriptive, I could almost feel like I was in that box. And the person who put him in the ground walked away from him. And you could see the sweat coming off of his face, off of his head, off of his forehead. Because he knew that he could not get out of this box. He kept trying to kick it, but he's in this situation where he can't even move his legs because he's lying flat on his back. And he's alone. And it's dark because the dirt is now put on top of him. And it's dark and you're by yourself. Imagine now the people who have put you in the ground and they walk away from you and now you're by yourself. There's nothing that you could do. All that you could do, you should have done. All that you could do, you should have done. You should have retracted the backbiting when you backbit that sister. It's too late now. You should have not stolen that money. You should have not lied on that person. You should not have used that riba. You should have respected and honored your parents who are your door to Jannah or Annar. All of the things that you should have done, you won't be able to do now, and you'll be by yourself. Your mother won't be able to help you. Your father won't be able to help you. Your husband won't be able to help you. Your wife won't be able to help you. No one will be able to help you. Only that which your hands have sent forth after the rahmah of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Number 20. When is the dead person questioned? The questioning of the dead person starts after his burial is complete. After he completed the burial of anyone, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam would stand by the grave and say, seek forgiveness for your brother and ask that he may be steadfast, because he is right now at this moment, according to this authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood, he at this moment is being questioned. He is being questioned right now. Number 21. The two angels come to question the dead person. Number 22. The names and the descriptions of the two angels who come to question the dead person. And there are some of the ulama who differ if these two names of these or two name or two descriptions of these two angels are Munkar and Nakir. And we'll have the people of knowledge that are here today, inshallah, Sheikh Riyaluddin and Sheikh Ghassan and Sheikh Jafar, inshallah, maybe they can shed some light on this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever a dead person is buried, two black and blue angels will come to him. One of them is called Munkar, and the other is called Nakir. And they, the two black and blue angels, will say, what did you used to say about this man, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then he will say whatever he used to say, the servant of Allah and his messenger, I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship as a deed except Allah, and then Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. And then they will say, We knew that you would reply just like that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who answer that question properly. Ameen. This hadith is collected by At-Tirmidhi. Number 23. Allah Azza wa Jal strengthens the believers in the grave. You see how much Allah loves us? All of these things that Allah does, all the way up to the point of death, and even into the barzakh, into the grave, into the qabr, into the state of barzakh, He just continually keeps giving us from His rahmah. Allah now strengthens the people in the grave, those who believe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the English translation of this hadith, when the believer, he says, is placed in the grave, he is approached and then he bears witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that is what he means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that ayah, Allah strengthens those who believe with a firm word. Al-Qawl al-Thabit. With a firm word. And what is that firm word, brothers and sisters? Huh? What is that firm word? So we don't have to have any ambiguity on the meaning of this and make our own tafsir. What did the Sahaba say that firm word was? La ilaha illallah. This is the firm word. Number 24. The believer answers his questions while the disbeliever is confused. And this is the state of disbelief. This is the reward. This is the fruit of disbelief in this life. The disbeliever in this life, if you were to say, use one word to show the state and condition of the disbeliever, in my humble estimation, that one word would be confusion. That's one of the main differences and characteristics that separates us from those who disbelieve. We're not confused, and they are. Their whole lives is confusion. A ball of confusion. Aisha, our mother, radiallahu ta'ala anha, narrated that a Jewish woman came to the door begging for food. And she said, feed me. May Allah protect you from the trial of a Dajjal. And from the trial of the torment of the grave. She said, I deliberately delayed the woman until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived. Then I said, O Rasulullah, what is this Jewish woman saying? He said, what is she saying? I said that she said, may Allah protect you from the trial of Ad-Dajjal and from the trial of the torment of the grave. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up raising his hands, seeking refuge with Allah from the trial of a Dajjal and from the trial of the torment of the grave. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as for the torment of a Dajjal, there has never been a prophet that did not warn his people about him. And I will tell you something about Dajjal that no other prophet has talked about. He is our. He has one eye. And Allah is not one eyed. And written on his forehead is Kafir, which every believer will read. As for the torment of the grave, in it you will be tested. And about me you will be asked. And about me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be asked. If the dead person was righteous, then he will be seated in his grave without being afraid or terrified. And then it will be said to him, what did you used to say about al-Islam? And he will also be asked, what is this man who was among you? And he will say, he is Muhammad the messenger of Allah, and he came with clear signs from Allah, and we believed in him, then a small opening will be made before the fire, and he will look into it, seeing some of its raging against the other. And he will be told, look at what Allah protected you from. Then a small opening will be made before Al-Jannah, and he will look at its flowers and all that is in it. And he will be told, this is your place in Al-Jannah. It will be said to him, you used to be in certainty, you died in it, and with it you will be raised, insha'Allah. However, if he was an evil man, he will be seated in his grave, and he will be terrified. He will then be questioned about what he used to say. Then it will be said to him, I used to say what I heard the people saying, which was no particular thing, which is such and such and such and such. Then a small opening will be made before Al-Jannah, and he will be told, look at what Allah deprived you of. Then an opening will be made before the fire, and he will look at it, seeing some of its raging against the other, and it will be told to him, this is your seat. Sit in it. You used to be in doubt, you died in doubt, and you will be raised in doubt, insha'Allah. Then he will be punished. And this is number 25, that the righteous person sits in his grave and waits without fear before his questioning, before her questioning, while the wrongdoer, the kafir, the fajr, the zalim, sits and waits in terror. Sits and waits in a state of terror. And now the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib رضي الله تعالى عنه. The hadith says, خرجنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في جنازة رجل من الأنصار فانتهينا إلى القبر ولما يلحد فجلس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and in another narration مستقبل القبلة وجلسنا حوله وكأن على رؤوسنا الطير. Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, we went with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to attend the funeral of one of the men of Al-Ansar until we reached the grave at the time of burial. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sat down and in one narration facing the direction of the Qibla while we sat around him. As if, and it says, كَأَنَّ عَلَى رُؤُوسِنَا الطَّيْرِ. And subhanAllah, the first time I read this, not being an Arab, I said, what does this mean? Because it literally says, as though on their heads were birds. I said, what does this mean? And then I asked my wife, I said, what do you get out of this? Who knows less Arabic than me? She says, simple. It means they were sitting in a state of awe. Motionless. I said, that's right. Alhamdulillah. And that's the exact meaning of it. They were sitting in awe, motionless. Why? It's because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting there facing the Qibla, not saying anything, and when the Messenger of Allah would sit in a certain position, facing the direction of Qibla, or something similar to this, the companions knew that something great was about to happen. So they sat there, devout, attentive students, not looking around when Sheikh Hassan is speaking, not looking up in the sky or playing with their beards or whatever, or when someone else of less importance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When the Prophet used to do certain things, they would be motionless, as though birds were sitting on their heads, and it would be attentive, waiting, because they knew that the word that he spoke is from the Lord of the worlds. So they can catch every single sentence, every word. And then the hadith goes on. وَفِي يَدِهِ عُودٌ يَنْكُتُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That in his hand was a stick with which he was digging the earth. He looked towards the sky and then he looked to the earth. He raised his eyes and then he closed them three times, looking up and then down, looking up and then down, and he opened and closed his eyes three times. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we all know, brothers and sisters in Islam, those of us who have eyes, those of us whom Allah has blessed with eyesight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet has called the eyes Habibatan. Habibatan, the two beloved. And the two beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are the beloved to us, because he is beloved to us. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. Seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. Sta'idhu billahi min adab al-qabr. He said it either twice or three times. And then he himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adab al-qabr. Adab al-qabr. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave. And it is very strange, very strange, very strange to me that some Muslims today do not accept the belief of the azab and the fitna of the qabr. It is very strange to me that Muslims living today reject that there is punishment and trials in the grave. And may Allah keep us far away from rejecting anything from the Quran or authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, while the believing servant is in the state of leaving this world and moving towards the other world, angels descend to him from the heavens, their faces as bright as the sun, carrying with them a shroud from al-Jannah and a mixture of fragrance, not from one of the oil shops in Jeddah, not from one of the fragrance stores in Lahore, Pakistan, but from the fragrances of Al-Jannah's fragrances. From the fragrances of the fragrances from Jannah. And then they sit away from that abd of Allah at the limit of his vision. حَتَّى يَجْلِسُ مِنْهُ مَدَّ الْبَصَرِ. They sit away from the slave of Allah, the distance that a person can see in this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the angel of death then comes to him and sits by his head. And he says, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الطَّيِّبَةُ. And in another narration, مُطْمَئِنَّةُ. O good soul. And in another narration, O you soul at rest. And in another narration, if my memory serves me correctly, O you sweet soul. O you sweet soul. And we ask Allah, O Allah, in this blessed masjid, one of the houses of Allah, O Allah, make us of those whom the angel of death says, O you sweet soul. O you sweet soul. O you pleasant soul. O you soul at rest. Ameen. And while we're on the point of Malakul Maut, we'd like to make a special footnote that the name Izrail, of which is commonly given to the angel of death, does not come in any authentic hadith. This is not the angel of death's name, Israel. Remove this from your tongues. Remove this from your vocabularies. Strike it out from the pages of your English and your Arabic books. There is no authentic hadith that says that the angel of death's name is Ezra'il. He is simply Malakul Maut. Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, which is a description, inshaAllah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angel will say, return to the forgiveness of Allah and His pleasure. Return, أخرجي إلى مغفرة من الله ورضوان. Return, O you sweet soul, to the forgiveness of Allah and His pleasure. He, صلى الله عليه وسلم, then continued, فتخرج تسيل كما تسيل القطرة من في السقاء. Then the soul leaves the body as easy as water flows from a water vessel. As easy as water flows from a water vessel. I'd like to ask you, is it difficult for water to flow from a vessel? Is it difficult? Does it come out with difficulty? When you turn up that pitcher upside down, or that water vessel, or that water skin upside down, and the water comes out, this is very, very easy. This is the way our souls will be extracted from our bodies, inshallah. And we ask Allah, O Allah, make us of those whose souls are removed from our bodies like water is removed or flows from the water vessel. Ameen. In another narration, it says, once his soul leaves his body, all angels in the heavens, and no one knows how many angels are in the heavens, illallah. No one knows how many angels there are. But I do know one thing, there's a whole lot of them. No computer or calculator could calculate how many angels there are in Allah's heavens. All of the angels in the heavens, once the body comes out in this narration, and all the angels in the heavens and in between the heavens and the earth, pray for that soul. And then thereafter, the angels do not leave his soul with the angel of death for more than the blinking of an eye. They take it and put it in a shroud with the mixture of fragrance. They take the person's soul and put it in a shroud and put it with the mixture of the fragrance from Jannah. And this is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He says, تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. Our angels take his soul and they never neglect their duty. This is found in Surah Al-An'am, verse 61. Then he will come out of that as the best smelling breath of musk which can be found on the face of the earth. Then they will ascend with it, the angels, and they will never pass by a group of angels on their way in their ascent. They will not pass by a group of angels without those angels saying, what is this sweet soul? What is this sweet smelling soul? The angels will respond, somebody better speak, Fulan ibn Fulan. This is the son of such and such. This is the son of so and so. Calling him بأحسن أسماء التي كانوا يسمونه بها في الدنيا. Calling you, and we ask Allah to make all of you who is hearing my voice, who see me right now, and all of the Muslims, of those people whom those angels will be calling him by the best names that could be called in the dunya. Ameen. When they reached him, with him carrying him to the lower heavens, they request permission to open its gates and enter. Their request will be answered. The best of the dwellers of each heaven will give him farewell and move on with him to the next heaven until he reaches into as-sama'u as-sabi'ah, until he reaches into the seventh heaven. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will say, اُكْتُبُوا كِتَابَ عَبْدِي فِعِلِّيِّينَ. Write the book of my worshipper in Al-Illiyin. In Al-Illiyin. And we all know, brothers and sisters, what Al-Illiyin is. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيِّينَ كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And what will make you know what Iliyin is? It is a register inscribed to which bears witness those nearest to Allah. This is found in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, verses 19 through 21. Then his book will be inscribed in Iliyin, and it will be said to him, return to earth, for I promised them that from it I created them, and to it I shall return them, and later I shall resurrect them once again. And I'd like to make another special footnote, that this phrase, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةٌ أُخْرَى, from it we created you, to it we return you, and from it we will raise you once again, or take you out once again. There are some Muslims who make this statement, which is a verse from Surah Taha, when they put the person in the ground and throw three handfuls of dirt. This is not from the Sunnah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba. This narration is not an authentic narration that tells you to make this statement when you're putting the person in the ground. We should abandon it as something that has been introduced into our deen, and we know that anything that is introduced into our deen, if it is not of it originally, will be rejected. He then will be returned to earth, soul will be returned to his body. There, on earth, he will hear the flapping of his companion's sandals. And someone might ask, but what if they're not wearing sandals? What will he hear? Then inshallah he will hear the flapping of their shoes or otherwise, which is worn on the person's feet. As the people go away from him, he'll hear the flapping of their shoes, of their sandals. And of course it will get fainter and fainter and fainter, and Allah knows best, until he can't hear that anymore. And then two angels, strong angels, severe angels, will come to him and make him sitting up in his grave. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do this. Only Allah azza wa jal al-qawiyul mateen can do this. Only Allah, and we should not try to evaluate and ponder and rationalize into dialectics. How can a person sit up in their grave when there's not enough room? We have to remember that this situation is hayatul barzakhiyya. This is the life of barzakh. Don't try to compare al-barzakh to this life. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I passed by the grave of Musa, and another narration, I passed by the grave of Ibrahim, and I saw them praying in their graves. So don't compare the life of the grave to the life of our life in this dunya. So the angels will make them sit up, make that person sit up in their grave. And then the angels will say to them, the questions of which we ask Allah to make us all answer, Man Rabbuka, who is your Lord? And the person will say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. Then he will ask, Ma deenuka, what is your deen? The person will say, Deeni al-Islam. Deeni al-Islam. And then the person will be asked, Man Nabiyuka, who is your prophet? And then the person will say, of course, Insha'Allah, Nabiyyi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he will ask him, what made you aware of this? And he will reply, I read the book of Allah and believed and considered it true. They will reprimand him, saying, who is your Lord? What is your deen? Who is your prophet? And he will answer, and this will be the last part of the fitna or the trial that the believer will be exposed to, which is confirmed by the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And Allah confirms those who believe with a firm word that they had in this dunya, which is La ilaha illallah. Then a caller will call out from among the heavens, my worshiper has spoken the truth, so spread a bed for him from Al-Jannah, clothe him or her from Al-Jannah, and open a gate from among the gates of Al-Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of these people. A gate then will be opened for him towards Al-Jannah. Some of its nice smelling aroma and perfume will come, will seep into that space. A space will be made open for him in his grave as far as the eye can see. Then comes unto him a man of pleasing face, pleasing clothes, and pleasing aroma, and will be said to him, glad tidings be to you, soon you will receive what will please you. And in another narration, glad tidings be to you, a pleasure from Allah, and gardens with everlasting bounty. This is the day which you were promised. And he will respond, and glad tidings be to you. Who are you? Your face is wajhukal wajh yaji'u bil khayr. Your face is a face that comes with good. The pleasing looking man will reply, I am amaluka salih. Ana amaluka salih. I am your good deed. I am your good deed. فوالله ما علمتك إلا كنت سريعا في إطاعة الله بطيئا في معصية الله. I swear by Allah, the good-smelling, good-looking man will say, who is the good deed of that human being? I swear by Allah, I never knew you but to be quick in the obedience of Allah and batian fi ma'siyatillah, and slow in disobeying Allah. Extremely fast in obeying Allah. When you are on the earth, your good deeds will say to you, wallahi, I swear by Allah, I never knew you except to be one who was quick in obeying Allah and very slow in disobeying Allah. And so, may Allah reward you with a good reward. Then a gate will be opened for him from towards Al-Jannah, and another will be opened to him from An-Nar. He will be said to him, this was going to be your dwelling if you had disobeyed Allah. But Allah has replaced for you with this one. Allah has taken you from that one, the place of An-Nar, the place of a hellfire, and have given you this one instead. When he sees what Al-Jannah is about, when he sees what is in Al-Jannah, when he sees what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that he said in the hadith Qudsi, أعددت لعباد الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. I have prepared for my righteous servants that which no eye has ever seen, that which no ears ever heard, or the mind of a human being could ever conceive. He will say, oh my Lord, speed up. Oh my Lord, speed up the establishment of the hour, so that I may return to my family and my wealth. And it will be said to him, Uskun, be calm, calm down, Uskun. This is the description, brothers and sisters, of those whom we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be among. Those who believed in Allah, those who obeyed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, those who were quick to be kind to their parents, those who were fast in doing good deeds, those of us who had the idea and or went out into jihad fi sabilillah, those of us whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared that which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, or the mind of a human being could ever conceive. As for the kafir, and how much time do we have? 15 minutes. With questions. As for the kafir, when he is departing from ad-dunya and moving towards al-akhirah, strong, hulking angels with dark faces will descend upon him from the heavens. They bring with them garments of hair cloth from the hellfire. They sit away from him at the limit of his vision. The angel of death then comes to him and sits by his head, and he says, oh, you malicious soul, come out to a wrath and an anger from Allah. It will split asunder with his body, and the angel of death snatches it as a skewer which has many branches is snatched from the wet wool. Veins and nerves will split with that snatching. He will be cursed by all the angels who are between the heavens and the earth and those who are in the heavens. The gates of the heavens will be closed. There is no one gate but that its guardian will be called upon Allah, that his soul shall not pass by them. The angel of death will take it, and the other angels do not leave it with him for more than a blinking of an eye, and they will put in it those garments of hair cloth. Thereafter he comes out of it as the most horrible smelling of a decaying cadaver, which can be found on earth. And when I read this description, it reminded me of one of the people of the past, in the second generation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, if sins could smell, none of you would sit close to me. If sins had a stench, had a fragrance, then none of you would sit close to me. This is what I thought of, the statement of this tabi'i. If my sins had a smell, none of you would want to sit close to me. That's how smelly I would be. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then they will ascend with it, and they never pass by a group of angels ever, but that those angels say, what is this malicious soul? ما هذا الروح الخبيث? What is this thinking, malicious, wretched soul? The angels carrying it will say, فلان ابن فلان. It is the son of so-and-so and so-and-so, calling him by the worst name, أقبح أسماء. أقبح أسماء. By the worst name of which he was called in the dunya. When they reach the lower heaven, they request permission to open its gates and enter. Their request will be denied, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, لا تفتح لهم ابواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. And for them the gates of heaven will not be opened, and they will not enter al-Jannah until the camel goes through the eye of a needle. Surah Al-A'raf, verse 40. Then Allah says, Uktubu kitab. Write the book of this abd, my abd, in the sijjin, in the lowest heaven. Then it will be said to them, return my serpent to earth. Return my serpent to earth. For I promised them that from it I created them, and to it I shall return them, and later I shall resurrect them once more. Then his soul will be thrown heavily from the heavens, and it will plunge into his body. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَهْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ. And whoever assigns partners to Allah, he is as if he had fallen from the sky and the birds had snatched him or the wind had thrown him to a far off place, which is found in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 31. And then the hadith ends by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, his soul will then be restored to his body. There he will hear the flapping of his companion's sandals as they turn away from him. The angels of strong reprimand, severe and strong, will come to him, making him sit up and reprimand him. And they will ask him, who is your Lord? Man Rabbuk? And then he will say, I don't know. I only said what I heard the people saying. I only say what I heard the people saying. This is all I can say. I don't know. I don't know. And then they will be asked, what is your deen? Not deen, okay? He will say again, Ma Adri, I don't know. I only said what I heard the people saying. And then it will be asked, who is this man that was sent to you? Who is your prophet? They will say, I don't know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us away from those type of people. Ameen. It will be said to him, I just heard what the people said. Then may Allah make you never know. It will be said to him, may Allah make you never know. Then a caller will call from the heavens that he lied. That person that says, I don't know, I only said what the people know, that he is a liar. In other words, he really knew. How did he know? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created Adam, he wiped his hand over the back of Adam, and all the nasama, all the souls came from the back of Adam, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said to all the souls, Alastu bi rabbikum? Am I not your Lord? Qalu bala. Of course you are Lord. He's a liar if he says he didn't know about Allah being his Lord. He's a liar if he says Islam wasn't his deen. He's a liar if he said he never knew that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to humanity as a mercy. And then he will be clothed after the nar will be spread out in front of him with the clothing from the hellfire. The gate shall be opened from the hellfire, and then some of his heat and some of his stinking pestilence winds will come into him, and his grave will be made narrow and restricted so that his ribs from the right side will crush the ribs to the left and vice versa. Then comes to him an ugly faced man whose clothes are ugly and he has an extremely stenchful smell. And he will say, bad tidings to you. فَجَزَاكَ اللَّهُ شَرًّا. not فجزاكاللهُ خيرًا, فجزاكاللهُ شرًا. May glad tidings be to you. May you be rewarded with that which is evil. You will receive that which displeases you. This is the day tu'ad that you are promised. He will respond, and bad tidings be to you. Who are you? Your face brings evil. The ugly man will then say, I am your bad deed. I swear by Allah, I never knew you except to be hesitant in the obedience of Allah and quick in disobeying Allah. And so may Allah reward you with a bad reward. One man who is blind, one man who is dumb, will then be placed in charge of him, having a sledgehammer, such that if the sledgehammer were used to strike a mountain, it would destroy it to dust. He will be given a blow with it, and it will become dust. He will be hit with the sledgehammer until he becomes dust. Then Allah, the one who has the ability to do so, will restore him, and a guardian will be sent to him, and he will be given another blow, and he will utter a shout, and which will be heard by everything between the east and the west, except for the ins and the jinn, except for the human beings and the jinn. And then a gate will be opened for him towards a hellfire, and a bed will be spread out to him from the hellfire. And then that slave of Allah who was wretched will say, Oh my Lord, do not establish the hour. This, brothers and sisters, is a description from the beginning to the end of what happens to the soul all the way up until the state of al-barzakh, the state of the qabr. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who answer the questions correctly, those who are shrouded in the sweet smelling fragrances from Jannah in the shroud, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His mercy on us. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله